Gayla, Vicky, Muriel, you guys need to come back. Come back. Come back. Sorry, Muriel, come back. Sorry, they're... All right. Sorry, you guys need to stay for the boring sermon. All right. Well, a few weeks ago, Muriel told that group that she's always dreamed of getting up and going with the kids for Children's Church. And I thought, that is perfect. And it fits so much with what we're talking about today. And I want to go to Jesus' words in Matthew 18:3. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So don't change, Muriel. And Vicky and Gayla, right? We got to be growing young. All right, so as we kind of think about this and the person that we're becoming, the people we're becoming, I want to ask you a question. Who do you want to become? What version, what do you think is the best version of yourself? What kind of person do you want to become? Who do you want to become? Because we're doing this series right now, and we're talking about identity, how we're known, how we want to be known, what we want to be known for. And we started this series by looking at something very important that Jesus said in John 13. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, if you are here and you're not a Christian, we want to say thank you so much for being a part of this and willing to come into a church service. I think that says a lot of good things about you, and we're grateful for you. Now, however, if you are a Christian, if you are somebody who follows Jesus, we know Jesus calls his followers to be disciples. And so I think all of us would agree that one of the things that it's crucial for us to be known for is love, that we are called to be people, part of our identity, to be people who are known for love, and specifically with Jesus, how we love one another, if it's like Jesus or not. And I've been thinking about this, because all of us want to become someone who experiences good in this world. Maybe we want to become someone who does good, or someone who has good accomplishments. But all of us in this room, we have these aspirations for who we want to become, maybe what we want to be known for, or the kind of person that we are, or position, or whatever. And all of us as individuals can answer those questions for ourselves. But as I look back on my 30 years of discipleship, following Jesus, I see that there's some seasons of my life where I think that I probably in that goal, so a disciple, part of our goal has to be to become like Jesus, more like Jesus in character. A disciple is someone who's learning the way of Jesus, learning to follow Jesus and becoming more like him. So I would say there are seasons in my life where I felt like, yeah, I think I was becoming more like Jesus, or becoming more like the best version of myself, that maybe there was progress. And I'd see other seasons where maybe I look at it and there are seasons of regress. Or maybe I felt like I was becoming less like him. I was maybe losing myself a bit. Or there was part of me that was becoming frustrated. Or the fruit coming out of my life wasn't like the fruit of the Spirit, but it was something different. So my kind of path, I think, it's ebbed and flowed. And I think most of us can testify to something like that, where we're striving to become someone, and maybe there's times where we feel like we're progressing, times where we're regressing, or times that maybe we feel flatlined. But all of us right now are in a state, we're becoming, we're going in a direction, we're becoming someone. So who we are right now is really important, and the direction that we're heading is crucial. So with that in mind, this question of who God is calling us to become, or who I want to become, or how can I become like the best version of myself, the one that's more like Jesus? Let's go back to Muriel's verse here. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, that must have been a little bit confusing there. But I want to think, like, who's Jesus talking to? Because we really need to understand the context. Is Jesus talking to a hardened sinner here? Is he talking to a group of people? Or is he talking to an individual? Is he talking to a legalistic Pharisee? Is he talking to a worldly secularist? Actually, the answer to that is none of the above. The people that Jesus was talking to here were the 12 disciples. These are people who'd been following him around for a couple of years now. They'd given up a lot to follow him. And what is the context? What's going on here? There had been some ministry highs. The life of Jesus was marked with a lot of highs and some lows. There were people that opposition that they faced and criticism, but there were times when people were getting healed and crowds were coming and they saw a lot of amazing things. So this is, I'd say, kind of a high time. And the disciples asked Jesus a question. Who is the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Like, Jesus, tell us, which ones are the best ones? Think about this answer when he's telling, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will have no part with the kingdom of heaven. So why? Again, think, these guys are making progress here. These guys probably are more like Jesus at this time than they were a couple years ago. They're probably growing. They probably expected them to be the answer, wanting to hear maybe something like Jesus saying, you know, the greatest in the kingdom are people like you. You guys have given up everything to follow me. You guys have been hanging on my words and asking great questions. And you guys have been my true followers. You guys are chosen by me. So you guys are some of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So imagine maybe their disappointment. So in kind of looking for an illustration, I thought back to the times when the Indianapolis Colts were in their high times, right? They were peaking. It was the best of the Colts. And imagine a season, maybe they're undefeated, they're on a roll. All the pundits are saying, Peyton Manning is going to be the MVP. They get off this winning game, and Manning's feeling real good about himself. He's heard the hype on SportsCenter and online and all that. So he goes up to Coach Dungy, and he says, Coach Dungy, who do you think is the greatest player in the NFL? And Dungy says something like, you know what, Peyton? Unless you change and become like a peewee football player, you're not even going to be on the team anymore. Now, obviously, this illustration breaks down in many, many places. But I think it underscores this idea that surely the disciples were awfully disappointed when Jesus is telling them, hey, unless you change, you guys who've been with me for the past several years, you guys who are leaving your homes and seeing these great things and listening and have been loyal to me, unless you become like little children, you'll have no place. You'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. What is that about? Can you imagine their confusion? I mean, surely they're greater than little children, right? Surely they're not that bad. Surely they've been going in the right direction. What is Jesus communicating here? What is he trying to say to the disciples? What was it? Now, as we wrestle with this, let's not try to explain it away too easily with a simple statement or even a simple analogy that breaks down all too easily. But let's wrestle with it for a while. What could Jesus have been saying? Unless you change and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So I have a question for you. Have you ever tried to change? Have you ever tried to become something more than you were at the moment? Have you ever made those efforts and tried to change and tried to become maybe more like Jesus or more like the best version of yourself or different in some way? Have you ever tried to do that? I have. I've tried. And today I think I want to tell you a little bit about my strategy that I've used, my primary one. And it's not because I think you use the same one, but hopefully you'll hear something in there that maybe helps or hear kind of my strategy and here's something that the Holy Spirit has to say to you about changing and our efforts. So hopefully this helps. But let me tell you about my strategy. My strategy for becoming the best version of myself. I would call it the try harder strategy. As a kid, the children's story that I heard the most often was the little engine that could. Does anybody know that one? And I think it's great, right? So there's this little engine, and it's trying to get up a hill. And it's getting discouraged because it's really hard, and this hill's too steep. But the little engine meets the challenge of the hill with some positive self-talk. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And that positive self-talk leads to the encouragement until it's, I know I can, and it gets over the hill, and it's the little engine that could. Yeah! Now, this, I think, is a great story, and I think it makes sense why this maybe was my children's story, because I am the little engine that could. I'm 5'7", and I wanted to become a basketball player. You don't become that easily. If you are little, you don't become a basketball player. It's not. It's an uphill battle to be little and to try to become a basketball player. And so that would make sense as a strategy. I think I can. I think I can. I may be short, but I think I can. I can do it. And I think that strategy, again, it makes a lot of sense. I think it was a good strategy in a lot of ways, because part of what can come from it is perseverance. And I think we'd all agree that perseverance is a good thing. Some grit. Grit's good. You know, effort. But as I've looked back on this, I think that strategy, when I've used it as my exclusive strategy to become more like Jesus, it breaks down in places. Probably even more than my analogy about Manning and Tony Dungy. But it has its weaknesses if that's the exclusive strategy. When I just think I can, I think I can become more like Jesus, I think I can. It may be hard, but I think I can. Because that path to me often leads to other things, and they're not fruit of the Spirit, but things like resentment or frustration or things of just not becoming like Jesus. And plus, it doesn't seem at all consistent with what Jesus told his disciples. Unless you become like little children. So I was thinking about this. Should I go back to little me as a child and go back to my little engine that could and try harder? But one of the things I noticed is that Jesus didn't say, unless you become like children. He said, unless you become like little children. So I think we're talking the pre-little engine that could version. And when you think about little children, babies, what can they do to change themselves? Nothing, right? Like, no matter how much determination a baby has, a baby can't change itself. A baby has to cry out for help. A baby is dependent on someone who's bigger. So when in need of a change of a diaper, what does a baby do? A baby doesn't say, I think I can. I think I can. Let me get those wet wipes, right? A baby cries out and gets help from dad or from mom or from whoever's looking after them. Because I think I can has its limitations. What if when Jesus was telling the disciples that they needed to become like little children, he wasn't saying that they just needed to try harder to become greater in the kingdom of heaven, but they needed to know that they needed help. They just needed to recognize that they needed help sometimes, that they couldn't do it all the way by themselves. Is that the first step? It's an important one. As I get to the midway point of my life, part of the reflection has been that I'm a person who needs more help. Like, I'm kind of made to be a person who wants to be independent, take care of my own stuff, to be able to do it myself. And over, I just keep seeing that I need help. I simply can't become more like Jesus on my own by I think I can attitudes and trying harder, reading the Bible more, praying more. So what does that look like? Again, your story may be different than mine, but I'll just tell you what it looks like for me. So Jenny and I meet every week, and we're discussing how we can become more mature. We're reading this book called Growing Yourself Up that talks about recognizing immaturities and how to recognize those and maybe make some changes to become more mature, which Paul says is the goal of discipleship. He wanted to present people as mature. So how do we mature has been our big question. And I'll have to say, even these times of us getting together, because I started, and my original purpose of this book was I was going to read it and I was going to master it by myself, right? But even the task of reading it with another person, like encountering and talking together, is so much more effective for me than just reading it by myself and then acing the test on my own. So as we're doing it, I'm recognizing that this is so good to not just do it on my own, not just to follow a book or have a quiet time with God and then go conquer the world, but to encounter somebody else. And Jenny made a comment a couple weeks ago that stayed with me because it's the result of too much little engine that could. She said, she made a quote basically from Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we see at the end there's that perseverance. It's a good thing, you know, don't give up. But at the top, without help, I think the natural thing that can happen is becoming weary and doing good. And we are at a place I feel like I'm becoming weary in doing good. I know I'm not alone in that. I know other people who've been in church for a while have felt that pull, like, I'm trying so hard, I'm striving, but I've become weary in trying to do good. Again, I think that's the description of where the try harder approach exclusively can take you. And today, unfortunately, I don't have any quippy, quick answers. I don't have the secrets of life figured out. But one thing that I do know is Jesus teaches not to become weary in doing good, and that I don't want to become weary in doing good. So if you're like me, if you've ever become weary, or maybe you're there right now, I just feel like I've become weary. Like, what do we do if we've already become weary? For me, what do I do? Do I try harder to rest? Do I try harder to have better boundaries? Do I try harder to read the Bible? Do I try harder to pray? I don't think so. That try harder strategy just has its limitation. And Jesus said this one incredible thing that I desperately want to believe. It's in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Maybe if you're in the weary season right now, you're in a season of becoming weary, what if this is the hope? It's not a white-knuckled effort to get everything right, to decide you have energy or to get rest, but to go to Jesus rather than just being determined to get it done, to do it, to become intentional about going to Christ who offers rest. I think I can only gets us so far. But the really good news of the gospel is that the gospel of Jesus does not rely on me. Isn't that good news? And it doesn't rely on you. The gospel does not rely on any of us as individual. The gospel relies on the God who raises people from the dead. Now, when someone is dead, what does a I think I can attitude have towards resurrection? Nothing, right? When you are dead, there's nothing you can do about it. You're dead. But we have a God, as we look to the cross and the empty tomb, that maybe gives us hope that we have a God who can raise the dead and bring rest to our souls. I heard a comment a year ago that has stayed with me. I wrote it down, and it's right here. Remember that transformation or change or becoming better, however you want to say it. Remember that transformation is not from effort, but from encounter. Transformation is awakening and noticing. Now, that's kind of hard to figure out for a little engine that could type of person. But what if there's so much truth in that? And that transformation or becoming the person that's more like Jesus or becoming the best version of ourselves, it's not from us trying harder, but from an encounter that we need, an encounter of someone who can awaken us. That's what I've been seeing over and over. Again, little children can't change themselves. And my story has been that it's been encounter that has brought the good transformation to my life. An encounter with Christ through other people. An encounter with others. It's when I come in a community, like I did this morning, my community that I was with, the encounter with those other guys in the circle, it helps bring that transformation that I just can't do on my own. A few days ago, I was on a prayer walk, and I saw a little duck. And it immediately brought to mind a picture that Jenny drew for me when we were dating, and I was 20. And it was a message on it that I desperately needed as a 20-year-old. And I realized a couple days ago I desperately needed it as a 46-year-old. And there are words from Jesus from Matthew 11:25. And it says this, At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." What if the Heavenly Father reveals things through encounters that maybe the wise and learned can't even see? What if our Father in heaven is the one who is at work when we encounter him, who can help us awaken and notice what we need to notice? What if? Now, there's an incredible story of Luke of some people seeing what had been hidden to them. It happens on Easter morning. And a couple of guys are walking, and they're talking about a rumor that maybe Jesus, who died, had risen from the dead. And it says in Luke 24:15, these two guys, as they talked and discussed these things, these rumors of Jesus with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Fascinating here. And we see this over and over, too. This morning I even read the encounters in John. And when Mary encounters Jesus, Mary Magdalene, she doesn't notice, she's not aware it's Jesus at first. And it happens. Like Jesus has these encounters. People aren't aware until later that it was Jesus. So let's skip to the end. So they finish their walk. They've been walking together down the road the whole time. He pretends to keep on going, and they insist, "Hey, you stay with us. Let's eat together." It says, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. These guys had an encounter with the risen Christ who awakened them to the realities of the goodness of the gospel. It wasn't from their own efforts or determination. It was an encounter that helped them. And for a while, they were even unaware of it. It wasn't until later that they awakened. Have you ever had a burning in your heart? Or in the words of John Wesley, has your heart ever been strangely warmed? Have you ever maybe sensed there was something more going on than what you could see? What if that burning is Christ? What if that burning is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead kind of stirring you and trying to help you notice maybe some things that you hadn't noticed before, awaken to some things that you were dead to? Have you ever had that? What if this is true? What if our hope for change is really encounter, and that we can encounter our Heavenly Father and the living Christ who raised from the dead? What if our hope for change is found in that burning that we feel? What if it's an encounter that the Lord is leading us to that can awaken us, to help us to notice what we need to notice, to see what we need to see? What if that's the way to become the best version of ourselves, maybe to become like little children? Meridian Church of God, as we close out, when we are weary, may we encounter the risen Christ who offers rest for our souls. May we become like little children who need help. May we become like Jesus. May we become people who are known for love. As the worship team makes its way up, Will you pray with me? Feel free to read along the words on the screen if you want to, or stay silent and listen. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.